You're still represented by two galleries, right? You got Jack Hanley and Cooper Cole.
Cooper Cole, I'm still working with. Jack and I parted ways a couple years ago. I felt like when I moved out to Los Angeles, I sort of had, there was a lot of big life changes sort of going on. And I don't know, it just stopped being the right fit for me. So I do need to find like new galleries to work with and stuff. But in the meantime, I've just been trying to fall back in love with making stuff, which is going well, I will say. But
Yeah,
and
it
then
ain't
Aaron
easy
and I
out there
also,
for a white man in the art world.
well, I can't comment on that obviously, but
I still had to try to get you to,
no, I will say I am certainly thrilled that people who have been underrepresented are getting their shine and stuff. I think maybe it can be a little bit problematic if the only way that people are curating is just based on identity. I remember getting into it with, I work at a bunch of galleries. I remember kind of getting into a slightly heated discussion with a female coworker, where she's like, you just like that because it's a guy. And I was like, I actually don't give a shit about who makes something. Like, I grew up before you could Google somebody. So, like, really, all you had to make your decisions was the content. You know, it's like you saw an image and you either responded to it or you didn't respond to it, or you heard a record and you either liked it or you didn't like it. You didn't know shit about their political beliefs unless it was crass or something like that. But I also just think it's sort of foolish to think that, like, good art is made by good people exclusively, because most of the time I don't find that to be the case.
Yeah, definitely not.
But
Are
you
we good
rotten
people?
bastard.
No,
You guys seem like good people.
I have a sweet side, but I'm definitely a rotten, fucking contemptuous bastard at the same time.
Yeah,
Look,
I have that
I
streak too.
like Drake, but I don't think he's a good person.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
interview was fire the other day. Did you
I
watch
don't
that?
understand.
Oh, it's a Kanye West interview that he sold on his website. The guy's so valuable at this point, he can sell his own interviews for $20 on his website, and both of us bought it.
Why? I watched the bootleg. Yeah.
Dude,
That sounds amazing.
He's definitely on another
Well, I'm
level
sure
when it comes
Kanye
to
is taking
marketing.
some relief that Diddy has taken over his place in the tabloid media
Yeah,
for the time
dude.
being.
Diddy is a fucking, I mean, but that's one of the, it's one of Kanye's things, is he was kind of like sending out warning signals about Diddy's proclivities for like years. And that was
Yeah.
part of people being like, no, he's just crazy. That motherfucker's crazy. But it turns out, no, I mean, but did it's, but like the rumors about Diddy as like a boogeyman of rape have been like documented for years, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I feel badly for people that are dragged into that who were, I don't know. I mean, I'm just grateful that as a band we existed pre-cell phone and pre
True.
people be we would have been canceled from the get-go. I mean, early shows were so violent, and not because the audience was violent, just because we would just clock people or throw. My brother would just do all sorts of fucking shit, that there's no way you would get away with nowadays. And it's not like I'm, as a older person, I'm not bragging about it or anything like that, but like, we wanted it to feel like a bomb was going off when
Yeah, and that's
we
what it felt
played.
like.
Yeah, thank you. That was basically was the what we were looking for. And but when that happens, sometimes shit, people would get hurt. And I mean, even from our first show, like, well, I don't, our first show, like, someone died at. And
Oh my God.
that was the first show I ever played. But yeah, like, it was right after we played. And I think Landed was playing, and two kids fell out of a third story window, like, 2 inches away from me. And unfortunately, one of them passed away and the other was in a coma for a long time. And
Jesus Christ.
So there was like a pretty dark. I don't.
Hey, it's excess. Excess gets dark sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the way to.
It's the solar anus is what Bataille would call it.
Well, it's funny because like after that, when I look back on like when the ghost ship fire stuff happened, I mean, part of what made like Providence and playing like those sorts of warehouse spaces fun was that it felt like things were like teetering on the edge of a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess it only takes like one mishap and that something really tragic can happen.
Yeah.
But there was something that just seemed interesting about being on the edge of that happening. I guess in retrospect, sometimes you realize like maybe you were contributing a little more than you should have to that happening. But again, you were just young and wasted and
yeah, man, no regrets. Long for that. I long for that. That kind of you wouldn't believe how what it's like these fucking days. Last week, I had some fucking schizo, alcoholic crackhead, like waging a YouTube campaign against me with accusations that I was this guy's like 100 Instagram followers. There's like, he's not important enough for there to be a conspiracy against him, but. He was claiming that I was conspiring with Gagosian Gallery, who obviously has nothing to do with me and wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire, and the CIA to ruin his life, and then added it with a bunch of like sex pest accusations. And of course, that's never fun to hear your name alongside that kind of thing. And no, at first, it's like, and the worst part about that shit is like I just blocked the motherfucker. I'm like, whatever, this guy's crazy. But then all your friends message you, hey, I just saw this, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I was okay until you fucking sent it to me. Like, the guy's clearly crazy. Don't send me this shit. I'm fine.
Wait, Bjorn, show us the rat again.
Oh, he took off. My girlfriend is a rat enthusiast. That was Pluto.
Nice. Didn't you Sorry. Just say Pluto's anus or did you say cosmic anus, Adam?
Oh, solar anus. It's Bataille's term for ritual and catharsis. He believes that like any chaotic outbursts like riots or religious fervor is a fundamental part of human being called the solar anus, where we have to expel all our violent tension, so to speak.
I mean, I think I certainly was fascinated by stuff that probably would have fallen into that category. I mean, I think that was something that was amazing about seeing like early boredom stuff or.
Oh yeah.
Early. I mean, I guess a lot of like bands that I saw that were real high energy was just, there's something that did feel kind of cathartic about it, and something entertaining about being a little bit afraid, like
yeah,
that you were going to get, you could get hurt, or I don't know. I guess I missed that at this point. There's not a whole lot of stuff about like live music or art that feels very mysterious to me. You know, it's hard to go to a show now and not realize like these assholes showed up like 6 hours ago, they loaded all their gear in the same way, they sound checked, they went and they fucking sat in the backstage for a little, you know what I mean? It's not,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like a mystery anymore.
Yeah.
And not that that's a bad thing, but I, you know, I feel like I never got to see the Butthole Surfers like in their heyday. We were fortunate enough to be able to play a handful of shows with them. But everyone I know that saw them like in the 80s and stuff was just like, it was total head fuck.
I mean, like, they were so terrifying. Good.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and you had no doubt they meant what they were doing, you know? Yeah. I mean, they're like basically homeless for big chunks of it. But yeah, I think that's, it's tough. And I think right nowadays there's so much sort of policing that goes on. That I don't know if I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, definitely in the States. I mean, so many bands can't even get gigs here, like all together, for whatever and whatever reason. But I think there's pockets of spaces opening up. I mean, there's no doubt I run my fucking mouth. I'm headlining a gig. I'm headlining a gig in Austin, Texas, of all places, co-headlining with Rat Bastard from To Live and Shave in LA. So that'll be cool.
Well, that's also, that's tapping into a slightly older set of heads too. Who?
Yeah, I think it's, I think that's what they're trying to do, is this sort of like old head, new thing, see if it works. But I'm not sure how it'll go, because I know there's probably going to be some people in Austin who hate my guts, but what are you going to do?
You can't apologize. That's the main thing. I was watching footage of Grimes having her Coachella.
Oh, yeah, and having the meltdown.
And yeah, my bandmate Aaron was just sort of like, he's like, don't say a fucking thing. Just ride it out. Like, it'll be fucking fine as long as you don't, like, make a face or anything like that. No one's going to know.
Yeah.
Or they're going to think that you did it intentionally and just own it. But
that's jazz easier. Right there.
The what?
I said that's jazz when you start playing the wrong notes.
Exactly. But I remember apologizing once at
Grimes
a show.
Is Albert Eiler.
Yeah. I mean, she came from kind of like a noisy background.
Sort of, yeah. Or like, I mean, or like the captured track sort of vibe, maybe.
That's who's the guy that, is that Mike? Who's the guy from Blank Dogs that did captured tracks, or does captured tracks?
I remember that band. Yeah. I think he did do captured tracks.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Is that Record Store Co-op 86 or 87 still around?
I don't think so. I don't think it survived the pandemic. The only record stores that are around now are the Academies. There's still that like extreme music one in Brooke Bushwick, Material World.
That might be after my time. I sold all my records basically to that guy